Let's talk health now, and according to a new report from the Grattan Institute, 2 million Australians who need dental care avoid or delay going to the dentist because they can't afford it. The report calls for the federal government to commit to a universal dental care scheme and suggests a way forward. Norman Swan's been looking at this. Hello, Norman.
Hi, Fran.
We've never really properly tackled dental care in Australia. The Benevolent Society had a similar report just a week or so ago too. Why do you think we don't treat that like we do, you know, we don't treat medical care? Dental care like we do Medicare?
It's partly the fault of the dentists, actually. The dental profession has never really pushed the fact that the mouth is part of the body. And you've got this kind of out of, it's weird, you've got this kind of out of body experience with the mouth. It's just somehow extracted. And we're not quite unique internationally, but we're almost unique internationally with dentistry not really being part of the general healthcare system. It's part of the National Health Service. And
In Britain
and other countries have it as well. The report shows what countries have what in terms of public dental care. And the fundamental principle here is that dental care, like healthcare, is subject to what's called market failure. In other words, the market will not, same as education, the market will, you know, it's been proven time and time again, the market unfortunately does not provide dental care to the community in terms of evenly spread. Mm. And we've accepted that for health, and somehow we've extracted dentistry from that process. And so there's been fits and starts over many, many years to get some kind of dental scheme going. And it's largely ended up in the laps of the state and territory governments, who provide a variable the quality that they can.
But it can't cope with the need, not by a long shot.
Not by a long shot. There's waiting lists over a year. And people somehow think that it doesn't matter if your dental health is poor.
But that's the issue here. There's a lot of research now that shows the link between dental health and a healthy body. I mean, quite, a significant link. Tell us more about that.
First of all, in childhood, so it starts in pregnancy.
Yep.
If a mother has poor dental health, she transmits that poor dental health to her baby in various ways. And then you have a child who grows up with poor dental health, then that condemns them to poor dental health almost certainly for the rest of their life. If you have missing teeth and you have poor dental, you have a poor set of teeth.
Yep.
You're less likely to get a job, and therefore economically you suffer as well. The inflammation set up by poor dental health almost certainly affects your heart, and there's an increased rate of heart disease in people with poor dental health. Part of it is just the general lifestyle of people with poor dental health, but it's also the poor dental health itself. And then as you age with poor dental health, your nutrition as you get older declines. And so people who are elderly, on a pension, with poor dental health, can't eat properly, and that spirals out of control. So the general health system picks up the bits, as does the social care system.
Okay, so what does the Grattan report suggest as a way forward?
They accept that you're not going to do this overnight. So they say there should be a 10-year plan.
Because it'd be expensive.
Well, it'll be about $5 or $6 billion. So yes, expensive. What they say is there's too much variability in the state services. So the Commonwealth should take over funding of the state-based services for public healthcare exists and fund them up to an adequate level, another $1 billion a year. And then progressively find ways of treating those people in the greatest need and plan either through Medicare or our separate system, a national dental insurance scheme, so that within 10 years from now, there's a baseline safety net there. Now, the question is, will dentists come on board? In the past, dentists have rejected that.
Why?
As a profession. Well, it's a pretty conservative, the ADA is a pretty conservative body, more conservative than the AMA. But the AMA opposed, or as the BMA in those days, early, has, you know, for many, many years, the Australian Medical Association opposed any kind of public health care, like Medicare, but now accepts it, and the ADA would accept it eventually too.
It's funny, as we talk, my tooth starts to hurt. and tonight, too, a story. I think you're going to tell us that if we run up the stairs every day, that actually is good for us. We should be doing
that. Well, you kind of know that already, but this is the whole thing about interval training, where you have spurts of intense exercise for a few seconds, then relax, intense exercise, relax. And people have argued, well, how much of this do you need? Mm. And does it have to be in a gym? And the research at Sydney University has suggested that, in fact, if you do this in an incidental way, you don't have to go to the gym, like climbing the stairs or really walking incredibly fast, depending on your level of fitness, so that you really feel physically stressed for short periods of time, this can compensate for longer periods
of exercise. How short, though? This is what I always want to know. How much do I have to do this a week? The attraction of short bursts is high, but how many of them?
Well, there have been research suggesting you go as little as a minute a week of this, but it's probably, you can probably get it down to 7 minutes three or four times a week for cardiovascular fitness if it's truly high intensity.
Okay, so I'm on the fourth floor, four flights of stairs every day?
Four flights of stairs as many times as you like, Lynn Peran, and I'll be behind you.
Norman Swan, pushing me, I hope. Thank you very much, Dr. Norman Swan.